A very pleasant afternoon to you. We hope and pray that you are ready to go into God's Word and to find the answers that pertain to life and godliness. We're glad to be with you today, and hopefully you've had a pleasant holiday season so far and that you are continuing to be blessed by our great God above. We hope and pray that you've got your Bibles ready, your paper ready, pencils ready to write down the answers as we let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. Both lines are available right now, so go ahead and call in your questions where you ask the question, you ask the topic, you actually decide the theme, but we're going to go to the Bible for the answer. God Himself, through His Word, is going to give the answer to the questions that are on your heart and mind. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Both lines are available, so now you can get in. Most of you that listen week after week know that the questions stack up toward the end of the radio broadcast, so don't wait on that. We might have to hold your question over to the next week, and so we'd rather answer it on today's broadcast. And so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. We have a text line available. If you'd rather use your cell phone and text in your question, you can do so as well by texting in to 725-9283. That's the text number, 725-9283. We are happy to be able to give you these answers and to go to the Bible for all the questions that you have. This is free. Everything we offer on this broadcast is free, including the Bible correspondence courses, all of the extra materials that we offer, all of the extra Bible study materials that we offer. It is all free. We will never ask for a donation. Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for a donation, asked for money. Neither should we. And so whenever you're listening to a radio broadcast and they are asking you to participate with your tithes and your offerings, well, you probably should maybe consider, well, why are they doing that, being that Jesus nor the apostles did? And rightly so, because we want to do what Jesus says. He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And thus, if he's got all authority, we better check it out with him to make certain that we are right in his sight. So get your Bible ready, get your questions ready, call them in right now, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer to the question that you have directly to God's Word. And we make no apology for that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul himself said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach, teach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So let's go to the Bible for the answers. Let's find the answer, because if it's new, it's not true. Let's go to the Bible to find all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, and we will be able to show ourselves approved unto him. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Both lines are available. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yes, and we have other things that we'd like to offer to you that are also free, and that is found on our website. That website is www.BibleAlone.com, and you'll see several topics there that can be just clicked on and downloaded for free that will be helpful and encouraging to you, that will benefit you in your study of the Word of God. It'll help guide you through some questions that you may have, and may even spark some questions in your mind to ask your preacher, to ask the people at your church concerning why is it that we do so-and-so, or why is it that we don't do so-and-so that's found in a certain chapter and verse in the Bible. So those are all very, very valuable tools to assist you in growing in the Word. Jesus told it's not recorded except by the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And of course, in this season of the year where that's emphasized, giving, that's certainly the case with Christians, that is more blessed to give than to receive, and that's why we offer all these tools for free. Another tool that we offer that you will hear about is this Bible Correspondence Course. You'll hear about it throughout the program, and it is designed to aid you in your personal study of the Scriptures. It is such a valuable tool and a helpful one for many people in this area. Many have taken this course, have been helped by it, have been encouraged by it, as they've learned new things about God's Word. You know, it's interesting that so much of Christianity, in fact, you might say all of Christianity, comes because we have been taught something. A lot of times we think about, you know, feeling something. But if you notice in the New Testament, it's learning Christ. It's being taught in Christ. It's being taught the gospel. It is being transformed, being renewed in our minds by the Word of God. And so there is a real premium that's placed on the Word of God in the Scriptures. And it is very important. In fact, it is vital to be able to understand and know what that Word is. Paul thought so highly of the Word of God that as he addressed the elders at Ephesus, he said, "I did not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." And so that's what we are trying to offer here, the whole counsel of God. So if you have a question about something in the Scriptures, we'd like for you to call us at 308-9564 or to text us at 725-9283, and we will study together what the Bible says.
Now, all of those telephone numbers are area code 843. So if you have a relative or a friend that is overseas or outside the listening area, well, you can also direct them to tune into this broadcast simply by going to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, and they can hit the live stream button and thus listen through their computer. Or they can also, if they have a smartphone, download an app called TuneIn Radio, and then search for 106.3 WJNI in Charleston, and they will immediately be connected also to where that they can tune in anywhere in the world. So please don't miss out on this, and let them know about it as well. But as you do let them know, if they want to call in, then let them know that it is area code 843 on this broadcast. And so we want you to be able to share this resource to as many people as possible. Matter of fact, we offer a correspondence course that many people partake of. There's been thousands here in the Charleston area that have enrolled in the course. Now, not all of those thousands have continued because many times people get too busy. But ladies and gentlemen, if we get too busy to learn about God, then the truth of the matter is we are just too busy. And so let's when we get this resource in the mail, the Bible Correspondence Course, you will be blessed. If you have been blessed from listening to the broadcast, then you will be blessed 10 times more by going through this course and studying it for yourself and seeing what God has to say in the privacy of your home. You can study it anytime, day or night. You can take the course if you are up in the middle of the night, like this morning. I could have got up just about any time. And so many times that's the way we are. Well, we can sit down and have time with the Lord and God speak to us through His Word. So why not get this resource coming to you in the mail so that you will be blessed to be able to study God's Word anytime you want. And then once you fill it all out, you just send it back in the mail to us, and we will send it back to you graded with the next lessons. And again, you will never be asked for a donation or a contribution in any way, form, or fashion. It is all absolutely free. You might wonder, where do these funds come from? Well, they come from God's people who love you, who want you to have the treasure that is given to all of God's children. And you might say, well, I am one of God's children. Well, that may be something to really consider. When we look at God's Word, God only gives one path to heaven, yet man has come up with many. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if He's the only way, then we better check it out with Him. What better way to do that than by studying God's Word? If you're interested in this, here's more information on it. you can call for this course, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Now, here's the information on it. If you already have the course, then now's the time to call in your question. The question line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We're waiting on your questions, and we'll go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak.
We are glad to be back, and we hope that you have tuned in to listen to this program, and more so, to participate in this program by asking us questions from the Bible. Oftentimes, when you ask your questions, it is an interest of us as well, as we are challenged by those questions to do a little bit of studying on our own. And so we really appreciate every opportunity to help with the Bible, and we really appreciate those opportunities where we get to learn something that we hadn't previously thought about or looked at. So we encourage you to be a participant today, a participant either by listening to the program, a participant by having an open Bible, a participant by having your pen and pencil out that you can write down the scripture references to the questions and maybe even the questions themselves, and you can start your own little journal about the Bible with looking at these questions and their answers. So we invite you to call the station at 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. And we will get your question on the air. We will open our Bibles and we will study together. What a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon. In fact, we have our first one already today. Ricky?
Yes, I have Thomas calling in. And Thomas, thank you so much for calling. And all of you that have this same question, I hope you're ready to get the answer from God's Word. Thomas's question is, should Christians take money from their members? From their church members? Should churches take money from their members? And then the second question, should tithes be paid every week? And so, Thomas, that's a good question. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your decision to call in your question very much. Well, let's go to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. We see there where God gives instructions on how we are to give. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So as far as a collection being taken up with churches, well, they are commanded to do that in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. But Thomas, did you notice that it did not mention the word tithes? Tithes. It was not mentioned there. Matter of fact, churches are never requested or even implied that they are supposed to give a tithe. The tithes were part of the Old Testament principles, that those monies that were given, that one-tenth that was given, was to be given and to the Levites. It was for a special purpose. There are no more Levites today. And therefore, that would be useless as far as that is concerned, because that was just for Israel to do. One-tenth of their income was to go to one-twelfth of the people, one of the 12 tribes. And so they were supposed to get that money for their service in the kingdom or in that realm. And so when they were serving the Lord, as the Old Testament dictated. But now that law is nailed to the cross. Now we are to show ourselves approved unto Christ, do what he says. He has all authority. And so when we listen to him, he says we're supposed to give as we've been prospered. Now there's one other passage. And by the way, your second question said every week. Did you notice this passage said on the first day of each week? Then that's when that was supposed to be done, when we are to give. Now, 2 Corinthians 9 gives us a couple more parameters. It says that we're to give bountifully and we're to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, 7, 8, you can read that there. And so, Thomas, thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Again, the number, if you have a question like Thomas's, then go ahead and call right now. The lines are available, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. That text number is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. And again, go ahead and call right now. Both lines are available, 308-9564.
We again appreciate so much the questions that we get from week to week. And we have one from Lanice, I think that's her name, if I get the spelling correctly. If it's not, I apologize for butchering your name. But she also has a question about tithing. I tithe 10% of my earnings, she says, but I got an extra check from my mortgage company and a refund check from college. Congratulations. Do I have to give a tithe from these checks also? Well, if you were listening when Ricky answered that previous question, which was also about tithing, that we do not find a passage in the New Testament that teaches us to tithe today. That was an Old Testament provision for the Levites. In fact, we do have on our website a study of tithing and what it was all about. And that website is www.BibleAlone.com, and that's a good resource for you to study what the Scriptures teach about tithing, and will be a good education for you. But as concerning the idea of giving in the New Testament, Ricky had directed us to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and relative to the money that you got, extra money that you got, the passage in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 16 says, "On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." And so as you lay something aside, then those, whatever you have becomes what is potentially that which can be given. And there's another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that also talks that we are to give as one purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we give as we have prospered, we give as we purpose in our hearts, and what you do with that money is really between you and the Lord. Everything that we benefit from is of that which is important to give a portion of. Also, there's a passage in Acts chapter 5 where people had things and it was under their possession. If you look in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 and verse 4, those things were under their possession, and the giving in the New Testament is a free will giving. And so it really emphasizes your relationship to God, your gratitude towards God, and so that is where the emphasis on giving lies. It is a heart issue and not so much a percentage, an automatic percentage of what you give. So as we think about serving God and giving as we've been prospered, then we're to give cheerfully, we're to give bountifully. And those are the only principles in the New Testament. What amount that comes to, that is determined by you. And so we appreciate so much those questions. We appreciate the desire and the willingness you have to give and to be generous, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So if you got a question, please give us a call, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283.
You have a text question that come in on this same subject, so I'll go ahead and jump on it. It is from the phone number, the last three digits, 919. They make a statement, then a question. It says, "I attended a church with my family in another state over the holidays, and the pastor said, quote, 'New members, don't forget to turn in your W-2s, unquote. Why does a church need this information? He also said he did not want to hear change in the collection plate, unquote. Well, I think what you think in your gut is probably exactly right. I'm not going to try to presume or put words or motives in the heart, but those of y'all that just heard these two quotes, you know, when we look in the Bible, you never see Jesus nor the apostles ever asking for money. No, they didn't do it. And the instructions that are given to in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as we read a minute ago, that they are to give, but he never told them how much to give, nor did he sequester their book work so that he could give them an accounting of how much that they make and make certain that they're given enough. No, God tells us to be a cheerful giver. That's what God wants us to be. A close relative of mine said to me one day, said, "Ricky, you know, I all I can give is $5 a week. And that's all I can give cheerfully." And so I said to her, I said, "Mom, as you grow in the Lord, your heart will grow closer to Him and you'll want to give more. And as long as you just keep on growing, then you'll probably end up giving a lot more in the future. But truly, the Lord does want you to become and be a cheerful giver." So, yes, we've got to understand that God does not tell us how much to give. He tells us to give bountifully, and He tells us to give cheerfully. And if you can't do those in the same package, then you better look at your heart a little bit. The Lord wants us to give, but it does not tell us how, and nor is some church supposed to do book work on us and tell us when we're right or when we're wrong as far as money is concerned. I think that many of the leaders of churches out there, no matter what they call themselves, they would do better to just teach God's word and let God's word be that which we proves. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, preachers or otherwise, we need to make certain that we do not whittle on God's end of the stick. That's His job to correct us. That's His word that shows us the way. And it is His authority that He deserves and He demands when He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." Let's give Him that credit. We sure appreciate that question so very much. And it is just ridiculous, as you can hear in my voice, I guess, to see what many of you are having to be put through with every single week, banged over the head. It's just absolutely appalling and disgusting. And we wonder why sometimes people make fun of Christianity. Well, that's why. It is just disgusting to see what is going on, quote unquote, in the name of the Lord. It is not in His name, but I'm not going to say whose name it is in. And so hopefully that answers that. Thank you so much for your question. It almost makes me shiver when I see what is going on and many of you are having to go through. It's just not right. Let's go to the Bible for the answers. Time for us to take our next break. Give me time to settle down from that one, too. And then we'll go to the Bible for the next question. Thank you so much. And we hope that you are getting blessed from letting the Bible speak in your heart. It's time for us to break. Again, the number, we've got several questions here, but just keep them coming. And we'll go to the Bible. 308-9564. And we'll let the Bible speak. We are back live now, and I'm a lot more calmer, and I hope and pray that you are too, because it's insane to see what some of these churches are here doing at the end of the year and causing people to feel so intimidated to give. When God says He loves a cheerful giver, and that's the way it should be, and it will always be that way. God's word will always stay the same, regardless of what man detours man, takes people down. So let's just let the Bible speak. And again, this looks like it's going to be a theme for today, but you set the theme. We'll go to the Bible, even if it is the same answer over and over again. The number is 308 to call in your questions, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yes, we have a question from Regina, and she asks, should apostles and pastors have armor bearers in these times today? Well, I don't know that they had armor bearers at any point in time. In fact, I'm not real aware of exactly what all that is about. It doesn't mention, it's not mentioned in the Bible at all. In fact, what draws my attention as far as an answer is to when I don't see it in the Bible, if it's not in the Bible, then it's probably a tradition of men. So in Matthew 15, Jesus runs into a similar type question with the scribes and Pharisees. It says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were with Jerusalem, were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. That is, people want to know why the disciples of Jesus transgress the tradition of the elders. This idea of being an armor bearer seems to be just that, because it's not in the scriptures. Well, I'll tell you what is in the scriptures when you talk about armor bearers, and that's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I'm going to read a portion of this, and as I read it, I want you to be asking yourself, who is it should have the armor of God? Verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it goes on to describing the armor of God. Well, notice in verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God. It seems to me that as Paul addresses the church at Ephesus, that every single person should be putting on the armor of God so that he can stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13 again says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, all people should be having the armor of God in, not just a few. The other thing that this question brings up is that the apostles, well, where does the Bible say that we have apostles today that should be treated separately from other people? And where does it say that we should be treating preachers in a different way by giving them armor bearers and not every member of the church, which is what the Bible says ought to be done? People ought to gird themselves up with armor, everyone, not just a few. So those passages are Matthew 15, verses 1 and 2. And think about this, folks. Think about how many things that you are told to do that are nothing more than traditions of the elders, traditions of the churches, traditions of the early church fathers, traditions of some council somewhere met in the 1300s. And we've kept it ever since then, and so it almost is held in higher regard than what the Bible says, just like in Jesus' day. So be looking out for that and be asking, where does the Bible say we ought to do that, by those who insist that you ought to do it? So, Regina, we appreciate so much that question. Give us a call here at 308-9564. We have a bunch of questions online and on tap, rather, and more calls coming in. So we enjoy so much the opportunity to visit with you concerning these things. Text us at 725-9283.
We have Nathan calling in this question. Nathan, thank you so much. He's got a couple of questions here we'll be looking at. For those of y'all that are waiting to get in now, you can get in. The lines are available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. The voice line is available. You can have your question written down and brought in to us, just like these. Or if you choose, you can go on live on the radio broadcast as well. The only thing we ask is that you give us your name, and that you be ready to turn your radio down when we get you on the air. So please go ahead and call in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Nathan's first question fits into the statement or theme that we seem to be talking about today a good bit. His first question is, giving, is it just to the church, or are we supposed to give to people in general? Is it supposed to be done every week? Well, Nathan, the 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 passage we mentioned earlier, we are to give to the Lord. We give to the Lord. He's the one that is the owner and the proprietor of all of those funds, and thus we have to ask his permission via his word to make certain how to use those things. And Nathan, I agree, they're being used, that money is being used for everything you can think of, and none of it, but most of it does not have his permission. Nathan, that would be kind of like me coming into your home, and maybe I see a big flat-screen TV there, and I like that thing. And so as I leave, I just unplug it and put it underneath my arm and carry it out to my car. Now, if you let me do that, then you could call the police on me and arrest me for, have me arrested for stealing, couldn't you? Because I took it without your permission. Well, then if churches today are using God's money without his permission, yeah, isn't that the same thing? Oh, yeah, that's right. So we don't give, quote unquote, to the church. We give to God. And the church is the one that is supposed to be using those funds by God's permission, by Christ's permission. And most of the things that that money is used for, God has never told us to do with. And so, that's a problem, Nathan. And then you say, are we to give to people in general? Yes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, God actually instructs us to do this. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. So, yes, we are to give to those that are in need. That's one of the reasons why we are to work. And suppose that we're supposed to do this every chance we get. Now, Nathan, please keep in mind that word need, as the Bible defines it in Matthew 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 6, is dealing with food and clothing. That's God's definition of need. And there's very few people in this nation that has a true need as the Bible talks about it. So, Nathan, thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it. And your second question, I'll get to in just a minute. Let me pass it off the next question. So, Nathan, stand by. We'll get to your next question. He is dealing with the world without end. So now if you have a question, call in your question right now, 308-9564. Steve, you have the next question?
Yes. I'll comment on this, all this emphasis upon giving, that in 2 Corinthians 9, it talks about that giving should not be under compulsion. It should not be grudgingly or of necessity.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of what people are being suppressed by. Mm-hmm. They're being told, you need to do this, and the heart's out of it. They're not giving true worship in spirit and truth, and that is wrong.
Yes.
Just plain old wrong.
Yep.
Well, we have a question here from Leon, and Leon asks about 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So if you got your Bibles handy, if you would, please turn to that passage so you'll understand exactly what Leon's question is. And I'll read a couple of verses from this. It first talks about Jesus, who is the advocate with the Father. He is the propitiation for our sins in verse 2. And then verse 3, which I think really gets to his pertinent question. He says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And what Leon's particular question about this passage is the commandments being talked about here, are they the old law still in force, since he uses the word commandments? And Leon goes on to say, I heard y'all say that the old law was nailed to the cross. Well, Leon, you've heard right that the old law was nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2, 13 through 14 talk about that. Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 16 talks about that, as well as other passages in the New Testament. And one of the passages we want to look at is this one under consideration. In verse 3, it says, "By this we know that we know him." And the him, of course, goes back to Jesus Christ the righteous, mentioned in verse 1. And that if we keep his commandments, that is, Jesus' commandments. So it's not talking about Moses' commandments, but Jesus' commandments. Also, I want to have you look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, where it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." So both covenants had law, but one resulted in death, the other results in life. So hopefully that is helpful to you, Leon, concerning what the word commandments means here. Context is so important to help us understand what that word means and how it's being used in the verses. And so the key here is that knowing, keeping his, that is Jesus' commandments. And by the way, it also, is it not very interesting in verse 3 when it says, "Now by this we know that we know him"? How do you know that you know Jesus? Well, you say, I just know him because I feel him in my heart. Well, that's kind of interesting when you compare with what the Bible says. The Bible says that we can know that we know him when we keep his commandments, a very objective way of knowing whether or not we are keeping, that we know Jesus. And so, Leon, appreciate so much that question, and hopefully that is very helpful and clarifies some things in your mind about the commandments. Give us a call, 308-9564. We're about to go on a break. Even while we're on the break, you can give us a call. Maybe you're still trying to locate that question. You got something you can handle real quick?
Yes, we got just a minute before our break. But Nathan, let me answer your question. His question is, "World without end," quote unquote, what does that mean? Well, that passage is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. After talking about how if we accept the Word of God, believe it and receive it as it is, in fact, the Word of God, that it is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And thus, when that occurs, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In other words, that is timeless. There are timeless benefits. This world is a short vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But if we do that, we receive God's word, it is timeless, without end. There will be blessing and power associated with that. Thank you, Nathan. We sure appreciate that. Just the idea of saying there's no time factor there. That's going to be a blessing that will last forever. The number, 308-9564. Go ahead and call right now your question, and we will let the Bible speak.
We appreciate you hanging through with the break, and we appreciate so much your questions that you've sent in today, and grateful for your participation, your active participation in the program. You keep us hopping, and we appreciate that so much. The voice line is 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283. So please take advantage of the opportunity to participate in this program, to have your Bible questions looked at, and we will study together. And now we want to stress that point. We're not authorities and scholars. We want to study with you, want to study together. And that's why we hope that you have an open Bible and you are looking at the answers that the Bible gives. And so we invite your participation at all levels.
So the line now, if you want to call, both lines are available, 308-9564, and you can have your question written down and brought in to us, 308-9564. Or you can just text us, if you'd rather, with your cell phone. That number is 725-9283. We have Sheila. Sheila, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your desire to know what the truth of God's Word has to say on this. That is so important, and we are so excited that so many of you are asking questions and want to know what the Bible says. And Sheila, thank you so much, and hopefully this will be, I hope you got pencil and paper ready to write this down. Her question is, does the Bible say women have to wear white on Sundays that they take the communion? either on the first or second Sunday, how churches do this. Well, there's probably 100 different ways churches do that, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But first of all, let's address this idea of people being singled out with a special garb that they must wear in order to be different. And so Matthew chapter 23, I do want you to read the whole chapter, but I'll just point out the parts that apply to your question. Here, Jesus is letting the scribes and the Pharisees have it, I guess is the way to put it. He's just letting them have it here. And he says, talking about them, he says that they, in verse 5, says, "In all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." So they were changing what their apparel looked like just to make themselves to look different. Verse 6, they love to the best places in the feast and the best seats in the synagogue, love to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. He says in verse 8, "But you, when do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he is greatest among you shall be the servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be abased. And whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Now, I know I quickly ran over that, but did you notice in verse 8, when he said, don't even call people teacher, but the Christ is one to be called that, and you are all brethren. We are all the same. There's no big eyes, little U's. There's no performers up front, and then the audience in the back. Christ is the one that's to be, God is the one to be worshiped. And man is just to be the worshipers of God. And so every time man or woman is elevated, and man is the one that's doing the elevation, both the one elevated and the one doing the elevating is going to be both accursed. And so, no, there is not supposed to be a singling out of a special kind of people or garb or people to be esteemed higher than others. Now, concerning the communion, Sheila, let me come back to that question in just a moment, because there's a few verses associated with that as well. And we'll go and come back to your question. So stay tuned, Sheila. We'll come back to that. Again, that was Matthew 23. And then while you're writing that down, Matthew also 28, verse 18, where Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." So write those down, and you'll see that if Jesus is supposed to get all authority, then how much are we supposed to get? Yeah. Okay, hopefully that's helpful. Steve, next question.
Yes, we have a question here concerning the members paying for the pastor's or the preacher's insurance. Well, there is no passage in the Bible that gives any specific details about what exactly is to be paid for or how exactly the preacher's pay is to be given. It's only in general principles that the passage that the Bible talks about mentions that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about this idea of the pay or expense that should be compensated for a preacher. In fact, it kind of has something to do with our next question as well, as Leon Wright asks a question again about the law. And so in verse 5, Paul asked the question, this is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock?" And so all of these things, Paul has been saying to make the illustration or the point that those who live by the preach by, work by, should live by the gospel. Later on in the chapter 9, he says that if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And so then verse 18, then when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. And so while Paul did not take funds from the church of Corinth, he did take funds from other places. And so as he asked the question, is God concerned about oxen only? No, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a taker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? And so Paul then provides defense for preachers being compensated for their efforts. As far as what ways in which that pay is given, that is between the church and the preacher as how they do that. So I hope that is helpful. A preacher can be supported by the gospel. How that is done, that depends on the agreement they have together. So hopefully that is helpful. If you've got other questions of a different matter, different sort, then we would appreciate those as well. 308-9564 or to text us at 725-9283.
Back to Sheila's second question here. Sheila, thank you so much for your question, and thank you all of y'all that are writing in and calling in your questions. We sure appreciate it very, very much, and it warms our heart to see your interest in knowing what God's Word says. And we hope and pray that all of you that are listening are not just a listener and think it is interesting, but that you are a seeker of God, seeker to know God, and to study His Word. Have you heard about our correspondence course? Please don't miss out on that. You can enroll in that at any time simply by calling 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that to you absolutely free. That is a free course, and we'll send it to you in the mail. We'll never ask for a donation of any kind. Now, Sheila's second question has to do with the communion, those ladies that were asked to wear white on those given Sundays. It says on the first and second Sunday how churches do this. Well, Sheila, instead of figuring out why churches do what they want to do, because there's thousands of different kinds of churches out there, but the Bible only talks about one church. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church. Ephesians 1 verse 22, the one body, one church. So if there's only one church in the Bible, that's the one that we want to be like. And in order to please our God who owns it, he purchased the church with his blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. So let's find out what his church was to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning with verse 23, he gives specific instructions on what they were to do in this communion. This will sound familiar to you, but notice in verse 23 and 24, it brings out in verse 24, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The word often is used there. How often did they do this? Well, that is a good question. What we should understand when we find the answer to that question is, should we do just like they did? Well, in verse 1 of that same chapter, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He said the same thing in Philippians chapter 3 when he said in verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Chapter 4 and verse 9, same thing. So when we find out what they did, that's what we should do. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, upon the first day of the week, didn't say month, didn't say first Sunday of the month, first day of the year. It said on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. That was the purpose in coming together. Well, then shouldn't we do like they did and just like Paul? Because it says Paul preached to them ready to depart the next day. So, yes, Sheila, the answer to that question is we should have communion, and it should be every 7 days on the first day of the week. Thank you, Sheila. We sure appreciate that. Again, those verses are 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, and Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Thank you, Sheila. We sure appreciate that. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Time for us to take our last break. Thank you, Laron, for reminding us of that. And next to the last break. That's right. And so we want you to know that we are happy to be in your presence through the radio and that you are desiring to want to learn about God. Why not call 553-5157 and get this Bible correspondence course on its way to you. 553-5157. It is free. We'll send it in the mail this week. You'll get it. Why not start off this new year this way? I'm going to learn what God wants me to be. Go ahead and call right now, 553-5157, to get that course in the mail to you, and we will be honored to be able to share it with you. And thus, you'll be able to study on your timetable when it's most appropriate. You don't have to worry about tuning in on Sunday afternoons. You can study that anytime you want. Again, that number, 553-5157, is the number for the course. Now, if you have a question, call 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we want y'all to know that we are so thrilled to see your interest in what God says, and we will continue to go to the Bible for those answers. We have a number of questions here on deck, but continue to call them in, and we will do our best to give you book, chapter, and verse answer. Now, remember, the correspondence course we just told you about, it is still available. It is absolutely free, so don't miss out on this. The number for that course is 553-5157, 553-5157. We notice the number of you that have already enrolled in this today, but there's plenty to go, and so don't miss out on this. We're happy to send it to you. What better way to begin 2015? Oh, wow. Can you imagine that we are there? It's hard for me to imagine that we are at that point in our lives, and I thought 2000 would never get here, and now we're here at 2015. And what better way than to show ourselves approved unto God? Let this be just one of the steps you take to learning more about God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. Ooh, do we know God? Should we do everything we can to know God, to prevent that flaming fire of judgment and vengeance being given against us? Oh, yeah. So why not take advantage of this? It's absolutely free. It is, again, to enroll in this course, 553-5157. There was a man a long time ago that was asked a question when God's message was go do something simple. A servant came up to him and said, well, Master, if he had told you to do something magnificent, would you have done it? He said, well, yeah. Well, why not do this simple thing? Oh, and he did. And he was blessed by God because of it. What about you? Why not do this simple thing? Learn what God's word says so that you might be able to know him, know more about him, and how to obey him in his word. Again, that number, 553-5157. Enroll in the course. It'll be in the mail to you this week. Steve?
And speaking about knowing God, we are directed back to 1 John chapter 2, which talked about that. John, remember, he says, you will by this know that you know him if we keep his commandments. That is verse 3. Well, Leon called back, and remember, his question was about the commandments, and he was under the assumption that those commandments were the commandments of Moses. And we said, no, those are the commandments that came through Jesus, as verse 3 talks about that as his commandments. In the context, verse 2 and verse 1 and 2 talk about Jesus. Well, Leon's follow-up question is a good one because he says, well, verse 7, and it's always good to look at the next verses. That's called context. And so, Leon, we appreciate you doing that. And the reference in verse 7 that caught Leon's eye was, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard, which you have had, rather, from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Well, I think maybe Leon's assuming that that beginning refers to the beginning of the law of Moses or the Old Testament. But let's go back up in chapter 1, and there the term beginning is defined for us, and there that means that we need to interpret the second word beginning in verse 7 of chapter 2 by the first reference of the word beginning in chapter 1. So let's read this verse together. 1 John chapter 1, and you know that if you don't know, 1 John has very short chapters. And so if you take the verse and chapter markings away, it's just a few paragraphs where he's talking about the beginning here and then the beginning in verse 7. But notice what he says in verse 1 of 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That's referring to Jesus. And so John is talking about the beginning when they as the apostles were the witnesses of Jesus Christ. They were his chosen apostles and they worked with him, they walked with him, they lived with him and heard his teachings. Verse 2 goes on to say, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be made full. And so, Leon, that commandments are the commandments of Jesus, the beginning is a reference to the beginning of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so neither of those passages take us back to the law of Moses. So I hope that's helpful to look at that word beginning in its context and helps again with your question about what the reference to the commandments are. So Leon, we appreciate so much your diligent interest in the scriptures to read and follow up later verses and helps us to make sure that we are keeping things in context. And so we appreciate that so much. We've still got time. We've almost got a whole 30 minutes here. So call us at 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283.
We have Brenda calling in this question, and she wants to know if when she's asked the question about who created God, is John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 a good answer? Well, it does tell a little bit about what happened in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on talking about creation and how that there was nothing created that was created that he didn't create. And so, yeah, as far as our beginning, that is a good passage, but it doesn't say anything about who created God. Because there is no such thing as a truth about who created God, because it was God created everything. And that passage does bring that out. There was nothing that was created that was not created, that he did it, that he was there in the beginning with man. Of course, he was called the Word or Logos at that time. And so as far as our beginning, the created of all created things, yes, but God was not a created individual. He was the creator. So when we look, how do we explain that? Well, let me give you another passage that will be more helpful to you. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Here there was a sermon being taught to a Gentile audience who would not have understood this truth, that is, that no one created God. God is the creator. Gentiles would have come up with some kind of like idea along that line. And in the middle of this lesson, he says in verse 20, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope after him. Oh, I started the wrong place. Verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. So he's talking about God made man, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that we might seek after him and hope that we might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. Well, right in that statement, did you notice in the middle that it brings out that he made time and space, boundaries, for us to live in? That is not, he's not bound by time, nor is he bound by a space or boundaries, a pre-appointed boundaries. Well, that's our habitation. In 2 Peter, it talks about as far as the time, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Time is irrelevant to God. Time is something that we live in, and space is something that we live in. Also in 2 Peter, it talks about when the day of the Lord comes, that all of that will be destroyed. It as far as everything that has elements will melt with fervent heat. That's 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. It doesn't say it once, it says it twice. And so hopefully that's helpful to you, Brenda. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate your interest, and we hope and pray that that is a blessing to you. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 12, and Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Now, if you have a question, and maybe to follow up with some of these, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us if you would like with your cell phone. That is 725-9283 is the text line, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a question from Latalo, and Latalo has a question about a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. He says, I've heard blaspheming the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. What's an example of this? And then secondly, is suicide also unforgivable? Matthew chapter 12 is the place, one of the places to look at, where Jesus talks about that. In verses 25 through 30 is where they blaspheme against Jesus, attributing his miracles and works to the power of Satan. And then verse 31, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. The question that occurs, that comes out of this passage is, why was the blasphemy against Jesus forgiven, but not the Holy Spirit? And it may have a lot to do with the role of Jesus and the role of the Holy Spirit. The role of the Spirit was to continue the work that Jesus did. If people were blaspheming Jesus, saying he was doing things by the power of Satan, the Holy Spirit came along through the apostles and gave them yet another opportunity to repent of that, just like happened in Acts chapter 2 of those very people who crucified Jesus. To neglect, to pervert, to change, to blaspheme the work of the apostles in their teaching, you're refusing, you're neglecting, you're rejecting the last testimony that God has sent to this world. An example of that may well be in Acts chapter 13, when the Jews, they had already, of course, rejected Jesus. And here come the apostles, and Paul and Barnabas particularly, are preaching. And they say in verse 46, once the Jews reject the preaching of Jesus yet again, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. We can judge ourselves unworthy of everlasting life. We can commit that rejection, that speaking against the Holy Spirit, and thereby discounting his witness of God. And so I believe that is one thing for us to think about, Latala, with that question. Is suicide also unforgivable? Yes, because for a sin to be forgiven, it would have to be repented of. And if a person has taken their own life, they cannot repent. We are hard up against a break, and so we want to pause at this time. This is our last break. You will hear again the encouragement to take the Bible Correspondence Course, and again, what a good way, as Ricky said, to start the new year, to be revived, to be refreshed, to be quickened, and those are different blessings that come from the Bible study that Psalms 119 suggests about the Word of God. So while we're at this break, You can be writing questions down. 308-9564 is the number. 725-9283 is the text line. But most importantly now, 553-5157, which is the number for signing up for the Bible Correspondence Course. Glad to have you back. This is our last segment of the program, a little short of 15 minutes. This is not too late for you to call with your Bible question, and it's certainly not too late to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. That number is 553-5157. As we said before, there are a lot of blessings in Psalms 119, and a lot of the times the word revive, the word quicken, the raw word refresh, and the word strengthen are blessings that come from studying the Word of God. A lot of people come to this time of year and they're blue, they're depressed, they're discouraged, maybe thinking that I didn't get all that I wanted to accomplish this year in my life, and so they're kind of down. Well, the Word of God will strengthen you, it will revive you, it will refresh you. What an opportunity to start the year in a positive way. And if you start it with the Word of God, you can go all through the year. So in the end of this next year, you won't be feeling blue and depressed, but you will keep growing and growing as the Lord has free course in your life. You can call us here at the station, 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283.
We want you to know how important that really is, and that is to see the things in God's Word for yourself. You see, if you take our word for it, then you're putting your faith in us. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you see these things in God's Word yourself, well, then that's the kind of faith that will save. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so we need to make certain that we are diligently seeking Him, looking for and seeing what God says in His Word, seeing the evidence and the substance of it, which is the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See it for yourself. Go ahead and enroll in this course. Call 553-5157. Get the course in the mail to you. If you've never received it, get it coming to you. It is free. And study God's Word for yourself. You may discover things you've never seen before. Matter of fact, I would dare say that that will occur. If you are searching, you will discover riches. You will discover treasures in God's Word that will have an eternal effect on your life and make this year, this coming year, the best year of your entire life. Why not avail yourself of such a blessing as that by going to God's Word, and you really will have nothing to lose but that poor problems, all the situations that have occurred that have gotten you down, that seem to be a downward spiral. You can turn those things around if you go to God, our Creator, and let Him rebuild us as He designed us to be built, and thus receive that blessing that will never be taken away from us. And by the way, most churches today are restricted from telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must operate within the denominational doctrinal box that defines them. So why not break out of that box? Let's just take our blinders off. Let us find the whole truth in God's Word. Again, one more time, that number is 553-5157. Call now, get that course into you, study it, and apply these things to your life, and you will be blessed eternally. There is a text caller that with the last three digits of 247, and they want to know which John in the Bible wrote the Word of God in the Gospel of God, John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. Well, there you go. That's a great question. Well, it doesn't actually say, like Paul says at the beginning of many of his books, Paul called to be an apostle. The book of John is not addressed that way. But it does say several times, the one whom Jesus loved. The one whom Jesus loved. For example, chapter 19, 35, chapter 21, verse 24 and 25. And so when you see that kind of terminology, we know who that is because he was the one closest to the Lord, and thus he refers to himself that way as the one whom Jesus loved. And so that's how we know that it was written by John. Now, which John was it? It wasn't John the Baptist, because he was beheaded before the church ever began. This was the John that was one of the 12 apostles whom Jesus chose. And yes, he wrote all five of those books. And so it was the same John that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos that wrote the book of Revelation. And why was he exiled? Because of his faith in God. Why was Paul arrested? Why was Jesus arrested? Why was why were they persecuted? Matter of fact, of all the apostles, every one of them seemed to have died a martyr's death. They were actually murdered, put to death because of their faith in God, except for, interesting enough, John. John very well may have died of old age. We do not have a record in tradition or otherwise of how he died, and thus he died calling himself the elder in one of his letters. And so he seemed to be the last apostle to live on the face of the earth. And so we talked about apostle and the word apostle there, and he was one of them. And a question came up earlier about what an apostle is. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time on that in the time that we have left. And so be sure to write down these verses that we're about to go through that gives you a definition of what an apostle is. Steve?
The first passage to note down is Acts chapter 1, where they were choosing a replacement for Judas. And it's real interesting the qualifications that they had for this replacement apostle. So I direct your attention to Acts chapter 1. And verse 21, beginning, where it says the person that's going to be this prophet is going to be the person who has accompanied all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. That's verse 21, beginning from the baptism of John, verse 22, when he was taken up, also verse 22. And then it says, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. That was a very important qualification, must be a witness of the resurrection. And you know how many people qualified? There were two. There were two of all the people that were around Jesus for all the time he was upon the earth. There were only two people that qualified as an apostle in Jesus' day. Now you got them all over the place. What kind of qualifications do they have? Do they meet? Then also go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, and it talks about, verse 32, where Peter says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Then you can go through the book of Acts, and you can see them referring time after time to them being eyewitnesses. And if you recall early in the program, we looked at 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4, where here it is very explicit about what the eyewitness thing is. Verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And then another passage is in 2 Peter chapter 1, where a very interesting word is seen. That is also talked about in Acts chapter 1. And it says in verse 16, Peter says, 2 Peter 1, verse 16, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So the reason for the apostles being eyewitnesses, witnesses of the Lord's resurrection, is so that they could give credence and authority and believability to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was what an apostle was.
So if any of you out there claim to be an apostle, we would like to hear your eyewitness account of what he looks like today. And so that's just not the case at all. And so that in order to be an apostle, you had to be a witness. Well, our time is running short. And we want you to know how grateful we are for your decision to seek things above, to seek things from God's Word, the truth that is only contained in God's Word. We are thankful that you have decided to let the Bible speak in your life.